my friend David reach out to me about a real cool place here in Jonesboro, Arkansas. It's B&B Collections. B&B is located as part of the Treasure Hunt Flea Market at 4012 Southwest Drive. They have all kinds of stuff and specialize in all things nerdy.
But we like the nerdy stuff.
That's right. I dropped by to see some original art, wrestling figures, Funko Pops, comic books, DVDs. They have all things nerdy. Hey, get your nerdy on and visit them. Or if you are not in Jonesboro, Arkansas, you can search on Facebook or add them on Instagram at BBC Jonesboro. That's at BBC Jonesboro. Also do a seller search on eBay, BBC Jonesboro, and they will hook you up.
I can't decide if I want that Darth Vader art. Maybe a Funko Pop.
Stop by and see Brandon or Bo at 4012 Southwest Drive in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Tell them STS Pod sent you, and you'll get 20% off on your total purchase.
Shooting the Shiv Kit is sponsored by SpunkLube.com. SpunkLube is an award-winning personal lubricant that's fun. SpunkLube is available in four varieties: hybrid, pure silicone, natural, and pink. Place your order today at SpunkLube.com and tell them Shooting the Shiv Kit sent you.
Anyone can suffer from recurrent or punctual erectile dysfunction due to stress, fatigue, or medical conditions. Stop feeling bad about it. Have better sex with proven solutions. Blue Chew can now offer you the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis at a fraction of the price, discreetly delivered to your door. Just pick the package that matches your needs and make sure you never get caught off guard at the moment you least want it. Blue Chew will help you gain your confidence back in the most convenient way. No waiting rooms, no appointments required, no embarrassing face-to-face meeting with your doctor. Your online prescription will be approved within 24 hours. You're just minutes away from a heightened sex life. Your performance will be as great as your dreams.
Use promo code STS. STS, get your first month free. All you have to do is pay postage and handling. Now on with the show. Hey, we're live from STS Studios in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and I have Bob McGee. Bob, you're one of our most downloaded guests with the Randy Orton episode, and I want to grab you and bring you on again because we just had what people are calling, I guess it's the most important, the most exciting, the biggest week in professional wrestling in a long, long time.
It was very much that. I mean, when you consider that you haven't had this kind of attention paid, you haven't had that kind of excitement paid to wrestling in a long time, which is kind of a sad thing when you think about it. But at least, okay, here's something where people are getting excited. Here's the reality. You've got big money in this right now. I mean, Fox's money is not, you know, dropping the amount of money they've dropped, and the Saudis dropping the kind of money that they've dropped, make this a big thing. What my hope is, in the long run, it'll force WWE to improve. I mean, whatever all the other things they had to do with it, Monday Night Wars forced them to original Monday Night Wars with Raw and Nitro, forced them to improve. They forced them to change the same old product. And I think we're in a period of time where, and last night's Hell in a Cell was a perfect example, they are badly in need of that change. Fans want to see a product, I think, that looked a lot more like NXT and AEW than they do Raw and SmackDown. They want to see something. They want to see a lot less. They don't want to have to put on Raw and listen to the Maria's Who's Maria's Baby's Father shtick. Okay? A little comedy is fine. When you're Ron Killings, when you're R-Truth and you can deliver it, that's one thing. When it becomes drones on and on and on and isn't funny, people turn off. So the WWE certainly, sooner or later, is going to have to come to the realization that what Triple H is doing with NXT is going to be the product, what Cody Rhodes and the Elite are doing with AEW are probably more some element, at least a significant element of what they're doing is where WWE's got to go in the future. They will always be a different product. You know, even when the day comes where Vince McMahon isn't around anymore and Stephanie's running things, you'll still have an element of the sports entertainment element, but you're going to need to get edge gradually toward that other product. I think it's great that when you saw the competition, even with All Elite, a brand new program, and NXT, which for all practical purposes is, you know, a 3-week old program for TV viewers, that you have that many viewers, you know, you have more viewers watching that than some weeks have watched Raw, which was always the flagship show of WWE. People want to see wrestling. Fans want to see wrestling. They were given two different visions of it, and they grabbed it.
I think you're making a great point there of how many fans was actually watching wrestling, and I was going to mention that all week long, but really right there on Wednesday that there was a mix and a whole everyone comes out in the good here when it comes to being a fan because you're going to have so many products. I want to start ask you something real quick though about Monday night. Is it started with Monday night? We had the season premiere of Raw. And I was kidding with you when we first got on here, but I actually did have to go back and look. Is there anything from the season premiere of Raw that you remember today on a week later?
The fact that the pyro fire lasers entrance, the sizzle, I remember less of the steak of the show, so to speak. Vic Joseph isn't bad. He'll have to get people will have to grow on him. Dio Madden sounds very natural to me. He doesn't sound like the typical WWE program.
I agree.
Spitting out the same cliche machine that, you know, we unfortunately have had to get used to for so long. He sounded very conversational. He'll do very well. Lawler is basically there to babysit them for a while until Vince decides, okay, people will be okay with him. I'm okay with him. I'll mold them the way I want them. And hopefully not too much, but at least enough that Vince will put up with it. So the announcing team's got a future to it as long as Vince lets there be. If all you do is have two more faces and the same cookie-cutter commentary, I can't tell you how many times I'm tired, how many times I want to scream at Michael Cole throwing around, if I hear the word vintage, classic, or whatever, the universe. It is not a universe. They are fans. They are wrestling fans. Sports entertainment if you must, but wrestling fans. Call them fans. Every once in a while they slip and say the word fans. I've noticed lately. Raw was not particularly remarkable. SmackDown was pretty much what I expected it to be.
All right, let's wait. Let's wait before we get to SmackDown. Let's talk about Raw. I want to say something that I felt, and you probably felt this too. And I want to bring up, you know, you do this. You're one of the oldest running websites, PWBTS.com, and you have been doing this for a long time. Did you see Monday with a little bit of an increase in ratings? Did you actually see more people coming to your site, say, starting Monday than you usually see?
The week was had probably more fans than we've had recently. I mean, with the era of social media, you see more people going to the Facebook that I do
right. Sometimes,
or that'll at least be the first stop. Because, I mean, face it, when I first took over the site in 2000, you only had websites, and you had people who were fans, some who turned out to be able to make a living out of it, but people like myself that are fans and have hung around this long through so many things that have happened over so many years. And there was certainly, there's been an increase in the website, the Facebook traffic, and I'm sure pretty much with every other site is the case. There's an interest in seeing, there's people who want to talk about it. I'm sure on every Twitter and Facebook page that there is, you're seeing an interest. You're seeing people commenting on it. So you got people's interest back. Now the key is, Vince, the key is, Tony Khan, do something with it.
Yeah, you got to keep it. The only thing I remember from Raw that I thought, and it really showed how big of a stars they are compared to anything that we see on any of the shows, really, now. And when we talk about Friday night, I'll also say that. With Flair and Hogan out there, with those guys, who really wants to see a match between those two guys? But the time that they spent out there before it was over, I said to myself, Bob, hell yeah, let's see these two guys back in the ring again one more time.
You wanted to see them. Because say what we want to about Hogan, but these are names that the people that you and I know that insist they don't watch wrestling, but by God, they know who Hogan is. And when Flair had his serious illness, people knew. That was on more legitimate news sites than I've seen wrestling mentioned in decades, probably since the Owen Hart death.
I agree,
literally, almost the most reported story in legitimate press, because people know Flair and they know Hogan. Is it too much to ask that everybody be a Flair and Hogan? Well, sure. But those people are stars. As we've seen when Austin's shown up, Austin still gets that reaction. As we saw on SmackDown, when The Rock comes out, The Rock's been able to build an incredible action movie career, one that Hogan really wanted to do. That's what Hogan wanted and didn't achieve. Dwayne Johnson had the ability, and Dwayne Johnson has the charisma, and it shows itself in front of any wrestling crowd he sits in front of.
Yeah, I still want to comment on that, but let's do a quick commercial break. We'll come back. I want to bring you to Wednesday night. Going down the line here, we're going to go to Wednesday night and see your thoughts on those two shows. So here we're going to do a commercial break, and we'll be right back, guys.
Tune the Shift Kit is sponsored by SpunkLube.com. SpunkLube is an award-winning personal lubricant that's fun. SpunkLube is available in four varieties: hybrid, pure silicone, natural, and pink. Place your order today at SpunkLube.com and tell them Shooting the Shift Kit sent you.
This is your bedroom. This is your bedroom. With Blue Chew. Blue Chew uses the same active ingredients as in Viagra or Cialis, but now comes in chewable form. Chewable means better, cheaper, and works faster than pills.
I've tried Cialis, I've tried Viagra. Blue Chew works the best. It's a fraction of the cost.
Blue Chew's definitely gotten the job done.
No in-person doctor visit, no waiting in line, no more awkwardness.
Blue Chew allowed me to have more sexual freedom because it kicked in and worked faster.
Ordering Blue Chew is an absolute no-brainer for any man.
Blue Chew makes my girlfriend, like, want to put up with me in bed.
I felt like I did when I didn't have ED.
Order online to get your first month free.
I want my girlfriend to want me, and with Blue Chew, she really does. Blue Chew is the future of manhood.
That's BLUEChew.com. Promo STS, and you get to try it for free.
Wow.
I hear you.
Wow.
My friend David reached out to me about a real cool place here in Jonesboro, Arkansas. It's B&B Collections. B&B is located as part of the Treasure Hunt Flea Market at 4012 Southwest Drive. They have all kinds of stuff and specialize in all things nerdy.
But we like the nerdy stuff.
That's right. I dropped by to see some original art, wrestling figures, Funko Pops, comic books, DVDs. They have all things nerdy. Hey, get your nerdy on and visit them. Or if you are not in Jonesboro, Arkansas, you can search on Facebook or add them on Instagram at BBC Jonesboro. That's at BBC Jonesboro. Also do a seller search on eBay, BBC Jonesboro, and they will hook you up.
I can't decide if I want that Darth Vader art. Maybe a Funko Pop.
Stop by and see Brandon or Bo at 4012 Southwest Drive in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Tell them STS Pod sent you and you'll get 20% off on your total purchase. All right, back from commercials, and I do thank our sponsors. Bob, I want to go to Wednesday night. Now, Wednesday night was the night, and we actually did a show called Wednesday Night Dynamite, like old Jimmy Walker, just to review, and we're going to limited time, probably a 12-week run here to see what we think about AEW. We all three people that was on the show, including myself, gave it a thumbs up. But what was your thoughts on, I mean, you said, I messaged you, you said you were switching back and forth. Tell me.
I did that, and I've watched all of both shows since then.
Okay,
through,
okay, so tell me this.
Demand.
What did NXT do wrong? That's what in your opinion, they lost. I'm not saying that it was a horrible show, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying, what would you do different?
Part of the reason AEW won, and to be very honest, I expected it. They're the new kid on the block. There's a curiosity factor. Let's see what happens this week. And to me, that'll be a fairer judge. You'll be able to judge more fairly as to what people will do. I would expect, as NXT dropped some from its initial airing, it'll come down to its level, and then we'll be able to really judge. NXT didn't anything wrong. I think AEW was the new kid on the block and had that advantage right off the bat. TNT has also given it a ton of support in advertising. They've advertised it on pretty much through their broadcast schedule. They've put it on sports events, including Champions League, which is European football, European soccer, as we call it. Which is a high, priority franchise for the Turner Sports for Turner and Turner Sports. So for AEW to get advertised on those shows is a big deal. That's the kind of ad placement that most wrestling programs dream of, is to be put on that kind of an important program for a channel. As you know, when we talk about SmackDown later, we can talk about what SmackDown has had with the advertising it's had, and their viewership numbers showed it.
You could not turn on TBS. I turned on TNT and TBS just for a little bit of time, just making sure, because I got this gimmick where I used to watch a lot of stuff on their app, so I was just making sure my app was working, there was no delay, blah, blah, blah. And Bob, there was commercials all day long coming up to the show on Wednesday. Just a lot of support, and you know, there's a mix and match. There's always going to be a mix and match of fans. There was a lot of us that went back and forth when it was Nitro, when it was Raw. I think people say that Raw had their, Nitro had their own fans, and Raw had their own fans, but I just don't know. There was a lot of us that went back and forth, and I think real hardcore that did that. I think that's what's going to happen with NXT, like you just said. I did the same thing. I went back. I thought a lot of criticism.
One of the factors, things that's another factor, too, is that on a delay, you could watch that on a delay on WWE Network. So, and this is the thing that I think wrestling promotions haven't, and broadcasting in general, haven't entirely figured out yet. And it'll be a little while before any of them do. How are you going to measure what people do? You know, people try to compare the audiences of the past. Well, when you compare the era of Raw and Nitro, you could sit on your computer and watch it. You can save it on a little box that's smaller than the little box that I'm looking at right now as I'm talking to you on the phone. That's not as big as my toaster.
Right.
Where essentially that's essentially a miniature computer. Where I can, anytime I want, I can fire up, go through, you know, icons of, okay, this is Raw, this is SmackDown, this is NXT, this is New Japan, this is this program, that program. And I can get whatever wrestling show I want if something isn't interesting me, although USA is smart enough not to let you fast forward through the commercials, at least. So even if you get it on demand, you're going to see the commercials. There's the factor of people streaming and doing it on demand versus solely watching it on their TV set at a scheduled time. How you balance all those out, how Nielsen will balance those out, and how advertisers will be able to react to it, that remains to be seen. And how how promotions are able to monetize it, too. Because in the end, if those promotions aren't making money, and if their TV broadcasters aren't able to sell ads, those shows aren't going to stay on the air.
Right, right.
So, figuring out that magic equation is going to be a challenge for everybody, and it's the same pretty much for all TV. You know, all TV. I mean, think about this right now. I told you, just got a new TV. I can either operate, I can put a plug in one, and watch. I happen to have Xfinity in my house. Or it's a smart TV. I can literally go through a variety of different broadcasting options. So all these different broadcasting options to the average person makes it hard to figure out, okay, is our storylines good? Do we have to tweak this? What do we do? How many people are actually watching this week versus next week? Did this work? That's going to be a long-term process to figure out. And, of course, the other problem, as you're in the fall now where they're dealing with both football season and you're dealing with the Major League Baseball playoffs. So there's such a multiplicity of factors coming into play here.
It is. It's just, we had talked in the Cool Kids group when Raw's ratings were going down, and it was always me saying, you know, what's going to happen is they're not going to be able to, get a big contract because of that. I was totally wrong because it changed. I mean, everything changed when it came to everybody wants live television. I was talking to the wife this weekend about it, and she goes, what happens? You know, we were just talking about ratings. I said, It live television means a lot, and that's, you know, that's one reason we're seeing it on Fox and how the money that they got, and it's a turn back and forth. Even with NEW, AEW, it looks like that they are going to broadcast the show right after the show. So if you wanted to, You could actually watch NXT, then watch it, if NXT wasn't running over. What I was going to ask you about, the criticism I heard about NXT, and I want to know if you think it's that important, is the actual look in a, you know, the small crowd. Does it make a big difference if the wrestling is really good, whether it's the small crowd? Which I think is kind of funny when people was saying that, because PWG has some of the best shows ever, but they have a small crowd. So what makes it different on
but
that?
But PWG
level?
Has found a way, again, I'll go back and use the phrase, they found a way to monetize their content to be able to pay these guys and get them to keep coming back. They give them a performing environment that they love. They give them a platform to move on to something bigger if they want. But PWG has been able, incredibly, to stay in business and to make money through the various, you know, not just the live crowd, but just, you know, sales of DVD and other options for viewing their shows. I think, again, somebody's watching a, in the end of that, somebody's watching a TV show. Now, do I think the smaller environment, it's unique. That is, it's very much its own thing. As somebody who is a longtime fan of ECW, we sat there, and those were smaller houses. They're certainly bigger than Full Sail University is, but they're still smaller than, you know, a Vince McMahon or a Ted Turner were using at the time. So in the end, I think it comes down to what is the program entertaining you? Is it providing compelling enough content to keep your interest? If it does, I don't think I honestly don't think that's necessarily as big of, it isn't for me as a viewer. I couldn't care less. I sat and watched ECW for years. I watched NXT. I didn't stop and think about the fact that, yeah, that's a few hundred people versus, you know, Raw being in a major arena, AEW being in a major arena. Entertain me. Interest me. Give me a storyline that I'll talk about that I can enjoy and get into, and that doesn't insult my intelligence. So for me, it's not as big a factor. Maybe for some people, it might be kind of along the lines of the WWE versus the independents thing, where they don't see it as a as important enough to spend their time if it's not the big show. Not realizing that, of course, all the people that are on those big shows came from one of those small promotions once upon a time.
Right, right. You know, I'm like you. It's all about the content of what's going on. I do think that an AEW show, I guess the best way to say it, was pretty. It looked good. It was fun. I loved the announcing. But, you know, it's fun right now. I'm really excited about wrestling. I watched more wrestling last week, sit down, since the G1 that I've watched in a long time, just to see what they were doing, which I think that's what's going on, part of it. Now, let's go to SmackDown. Let me just first say that I'm a huge Rock fan. I've been a Rock mark since day one. And so I love the opening segment of SmackDown. They did huge numbers, and like you said, they did a lot of, Fox did a lot of support to SmackDown. I thought the opening segment was really good because I'm a Rock fan. And then the ending segment I thought was real good too. But I thought in between, and that's what surprised me more than anything, that in between all of that, SmackDown was just SmackDown. I mean, it was nothing special.
It will
special.
Take time for them. I mean, some storylines have got to be tied up. You had to wind up the storyline with Owens and Shane McMahon. I mean, you won't see that going forward. You're seeing a really heavy sports emphasis. You know, Tyson Fury being on there, as I understand, there's some sort of partnership with Fox and ESPN to promote a Fury super fight later in the year, which is why Fury appeared and is doing the bit with Strowman. You're going to get a very different production. I mean, the fact that you had Erin Andrews, who I honestly don't know if she is a wrestling fan or isn't, or was just being a good company soldier, having her doing interviews certainly gave a very different feel to the program. I don't know that that's something that you were going to see every week. Here's the thing that I had the biggest issue with. Did I expect Kofi Kingston to drop the belt? Yes. I mean, I absolutely, that did not surprise me one little bit. Given how much of the fact that in the ads to promote SmackDown coming on over this whole summer and the early fall, you've seen Lesnar's face all over everything. And you knew pretty well as last night on in Hell in a Cell, seeing Charlotte Flair go over. They're both seen as athletes. Charlotte Flair is legitimately an athlete prior to her time wrestling. But the way that Kofi Kingston was jobbed out, it had a very bad optic to it. When you have the story, the line that was the most compelling the WWE's probably had for the year, in my mind, that got the best real genuine crowd reaction, that had people upset when it seemed like they were kind of tippy-toeing around whether they were going to finally put the belt on them. You got to having them get the belt, and then you threw it away in 10 seconds or less. Now, I fully expected them to lose clean and for it to be a short match, but 10 seconds, you talk about insulting people's intelligence. I mean, you've just basically thrown away a lot of what he meant to people. And if you look online right now, there are a lot of people that are very, 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 very angry at that. And, you know, people have brought race into the equation. The interesting thing that I found is many of the people, and possibly even most of the people who brought that up, weren't people of color. So it wasn't a matter of, I'm sure the excuse some people would say, well, hey, this is just people of color who are upset because a character who is black, you know, lost their title. By far, most people I saw complaining weren't. And it was because they created a compelling character who crossed that line. And that's a mistake. It's a bad optic. I'm going to be really curious over a period of time to see what happens with network subscriptions and or viewership this week with the shows. There were online, that's been another of the things that have been talked about, is people being very upset at that. Between that and what went on last night with Hell in a Cell, there are, for all the good, and there was an awful lot of it, that WWE did in broadcasting over the last week, between Kingston losing so quickly and the disaster of a main event of last night's pay-per-view, they've got some damage control to do tonight.
I didn't hate on the Kofi change as bad as everyone else did. Number one, I'm also a Lesnar fan, so that makes it that makes me want to.
I had no problem whatever with him doing that. What I have a problem with is that they did it that quickly. You know, let Kofi put up a fight for two or three or four or whatever number of minutes, and then let Lesnar go off as the dominating, figure he is, the beast, and he goes over. And that way, Kofi doesn't look like a total schmuck. Lesnar looks like the monster that you want him to be, and every purpose, you cover both purposes.
Right. Okay, let's talk about Hell in a Cell. This will be released on Monday. We're talking on a Monday morning, and it was last night. I had a chance to watch it. I didn't want to go over the whole pay-per-view, but I want to talk about the two Hell in a Cell matches. I think they were as different night as day as they could be. The two girls that opened the show.
The best matches on the show were the women's matches.
It was. Period. They opened the show with one of the... just a fantastic Hell in a Cell. I'm not going to say one of the best ever, but it really was a really good match with some creative spots in it. Then we finished the night Bob, I actually put in the Cool Kids Facebook group, this is probably one of the worst main event pay-per-view matches, especially for a title, blah, 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 I think I've ever sat through, and that's saying a lot.
I would agree with you.
It was with
you.
It
don't
was
have,
the whole presentation.
Yes, some people have pointed out that last year, Hell in a Cell, the main event was also a non-finish.
I don't remember
Lesnar
that.
When Lesnar crashed the cage.
Ah, see,
Was last year, which I had kind of forgotten. The difference is, they painted themselves into a corner. You didn't want the Fiend to lose, but they're not yet ready to put the belt on him. They don't want Rollins to lose. So you're kind of stuck with, you painted yourself into a corner. You didn't have a way out. If this is a normal match, well, sure, then you can just do the good old wrestling standard, have a DQ, and then keep the program going. I honestly don't know how they get themselves out of this. Some people were kind of distracted by the red light on the ring.
I didn't because
I knew they were going to have to do something really unusual with that character.
I love it the way you say that. Really unusual.
But,
yeah, yeah.
Well, you had to do something different. I mean, you can do so much with edited segments, the Firefly Funhouse, and the segments that they're doing on live TV. But when you're in a live pay-per-view, it's a different animal. And you couldn't, there's only so much smoke and mirrors you can do. In the end, the story that they were trying to go for was, okay, Rollins couldn't, no matter what he did, he did all this stuff, he still couldn't defeat the Fiend. But to do a DQ, referee, or as they've tried to spit it, a referee stoppage, it's a DQ.
You're
doing it in a match that is supposed to be no DQ.
Right. I try to give it a reason in my mind, you know, all of this, and I try to think of some monsters in the past where the babyface does a lot of stuff too, and then you know the monster keeps coming back. But you talk about put yourself, you know, what they done is they built Jason from Friday the 13th is what they done. That's all it was the Friday the 13th gimmick, where no matter what you do. So my question to you, Bob, you've been around as long as I have. How do you beat Bray Wyatt now? Because the way they done it is you could do a gazillion finishing moves in a row, not just one.
Eventually, eventually you have Wyatt win, and it was very obvious that live crowd wanted him to win.
Oh, man, was that bad?
Because Rollins starts getting an advantage, and that crowd started crapping all over it. And I'm thinking, as I'm watching that live, I'm thinking, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
You got a problem. Now, is that the first time people crapped on a baby face? No. I come from a city where we almost made a habit of doing it.
But this was different. This was different than John Cena.
This was a real, almost visceral, they did not want to see this.
Mm-hmm.
But when they saw they almost would have reacted better to Rollins going over clean than this non-finish. It's like, you just took our money and you just, you pardon my language, but you just pissed on their head and told us it was a shower.
Oh yeah, that's exactly.
Okay,
what
you
they
really
did, yeah.
Just and how many people? I don't care if you paid your $9.99 a month, if you paid your, you bought a pay per view on HD or one of the other broadcast options that you've got around the world. If you invested that much time and you got that, I mean, that's the. I almost did this borders almost on, and this might sound a bit extreme. This is bordering on how you felt when Jeff Hardy and Sting had that disaster with Impact, the one that may really did a substantial job in killing off Impact for a lot of mainstream audience.
I know. I see what you're saying.
It's just disgusted reaction at the end. Not just the storyline didn't go the way I wanted, but you ripped me off.
Right,
That's
right,
not
right, right,
something
right.
any business. I don't care if you're Best Buy. I don't care if you're the corner coffee stand or you're a wrestling promotion. You can't afford to tell your customer slash fan, you can't let them leave feeling ripped off. Some people say, well, hey, I'll make a quick buck. You might make the quick buck, but you won't make the next buck.
Right. Oh, I agree with you. That's a great analogy there with that match. It really a bad taste in my mouth. Funny thing is, even with this match is going on and me being right smack in the middle of everything again with the podcast, if something is really, really good, I'll get a lot of, you know, inboxes and messages or texts or something. But when something's really, really bad, it's just almost like, you know, don't worry about it. But I actually messaged Lance, and then I messaged you. Both of us talked about the same time. And both of y'all, we won't mention the word that everyone hates to call matches, but both of you pretty much said the A word and said, you know, Lance didn't even.
Which is one I've said to other people, and I'm avoiding out of respect to some of the, I'm sure that of the listeners.
Right.
But so whatever that ultimate word is for you, listener, That's what the Hell in a Cell main event was. Whatever the ultimate blasphemy is for you. In terms of your enjoyment, in terms of your feeling, I got ripped off.
Oh, I didn't.
And to me, that's just the worst. As a businessman of any kind, that's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, well, I think not only did we got ripped off because we're paying $10 a month, that's not the people there really got ripped
the
off.
People
and they
live.
Knew it, and they knew it.
And the people live went nuts. Even after the broadcast cut off, people were chanting refunds. You had an audible AEW chant until they started pretty much killed the sound. You'd restart the match. I mean, people were like waiting for them to... Okay, restart the match and, you know, somehow figuring, okay, you're going to let, since Wyatt, you know, mysteriously came back to life, then you're going to let him take out Rollins. And they didn't do it. Now, I don't know if they're going to go so far. It's notable that WWE, at least as of the moment when I started this call, had not put up a preview for Raw. So I am wondering if they're trying to think of a way to get themselves out of it.
They're going to spend all morning.
I'm not really
going,
being funny. I'm literally wondering if at least they're...
I can see them doing it, so...
I mean, the problem is, if I'm Vince McMahon, if I'm all the book, the writing staff, Stephanie, Triple H, if everybody... They've got to be emotionally and physically exhausted. You went through one of the... probably the hardest weeks, you know, for as much live TV as you're producing, including the pay-per-view. And you got to turn around and start it all over again. And now you've got this kind of great big turd in the proverbial punch bowl that you got to deal with. Okay, you got angry fans. You don't want to have Comcast, a.k.a. or USA, if you will, upset with you by some disaster rating tonight. Okay, you're going to be running against Monday Night Football. You're going to be running against Major League Playoffs. So you've already got that heavy-duty competition. You don't want angry wrestling fans to sit on their hands or to, you know, go on demand and watch New Japan or AEW or throw on an old wrestling DVD or something else rather than watch your show. And Vince McMahon and that staff is going to really – and Paul Heyman. Heyman, people are like – people – look at Paul Heyman as sort of as the savior of this. It's like, okay, when you give Heyman a role in the process, it should start making more sense. Well, as of last night, if Paul Heyman had any part of that, that had to be one of the worst jobs Paul Heyman ever did in coming up with a finish that people would accept.
I don't know. You know, the thing about it is, I think the attitude was up, and they've got to change. Like you said, you started a great conversation at the very end about change, and I think there was no reason to change. Now there is, because when they see all that stuff on the internet about the fans hated it, blah, blah, blah,
And here's the biggest, single number one biggest beef I have with WWE. It's not a storyline. It's not the style of product. It's how they treat smart fans. You know, you have WWE Network, which to a degree markets to, which by and large tends to be a smarter audience. To still operate with the same carny mindset of, hey, they'll put up with it because we're the show, big show in town. You aren't the only show in town anymore, number one. And number two, and this goes back to the thing I said earlier about business, no business that I know of thinks it's acceptable to ridicule their customers. Okay, you don't hear, when you have soap op, when you have, you know, well, more novellas now, daytime dramas, novellas for the Latino audience, and what few soap operas remain, don't ridicule their fans. They understand that people know that there's the character and there's the actor playing the character, and they put their folks out there. They know that people will, just like we wrestling fans do, they argue storylines, they debate them, they think this storyline was ridiculous. They've had to change storylines because the ratings reacted. You have country music that reaches out to its fan base.
I know what you're
how
saying.
Do you, how do you have this business called wrestling? Yes, I know the carny roots. Yes, I know working the marks. I have a late cousin who did some small-time promoting in upstate New York. Some ancestors of my mother were in the circus. I get all that. But that was then, this is now. You're running a Fortune 500 company, and you're basically shooting the middle finger to your customers, and you're treating them like they're idiots.
I agree, they've been doing
If I hear the phrase bizarro world one more time, which is their code for these people aren't reacting the way we want them to, utterly ridiculous.
Yeah, they got something else now, the fans do, and that's what I think, and you're right.
And now they have an alternative. Yep. And now is the time, Vince, to stop.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, guys. Hey, Bob, I hate to do this. We sit here and we talked for more than we were supposed to, so I just want to get off here. Thank you, Bob, as always. It's a pleasure talking to you. Same bad time, same bad channel, on the best little wrestling podcast in the business. Be there. And as everyone knows, I love my mama. Thanks, Bob.
Cool.
Graphic design is very important. Your logo is the first image potential customers see. What kind of impression would you want to make today? Need a podcast logo or a t-shirt design? KT does art. Her name has become synonymous with quality and professionalism in the graphic design community. She specializes in graphic design, painting, and more. She provides affordable commissions and professional quality with a timely delivery. Contact KT via email at kt_does_art@yahoo.com. Check out her Instagram at instagram.com/kt_does_art.
That was another great episode of Shooting the Shiznit. Looking for contestants for Who Wants to Be the Best Shiznitter Ever? That's right, contact me and be a contestant on Who Wants to Be the Best Shiznitter Ever. A big shout out to our sponsors this month. Also, remember, we have a Patreon for only $1. That's patreon.com/shootingtheshiznit without the G. A special thanks to Bob McGee at Pro Wrestling's Between the Sheets, Gene Jackson at locals2legends.com, and Sean Garmer at Wrestling to Max website. You can reach me on Comic Book Mark BT on Twitter, at BT Shooting the Shiznit on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook with a Shooting the Shiznit Facebook page. We have the Cool Kids Wrestling and MMA Talk Facebook group. If we don't like you, we'll kick you out, but you also have to ask to get in. All the archives are at www.stspod.club. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Spreaker, Spotify, and all the fun podcast players. Podcast Roll Call. A big shout out to Creative Control. Keeping it 100. Memphis Memories with Randy Hales. And my buddies over there at P3 Radio, Max and Josh. Guys, I am Brian Trammell. Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. We get it a whole lot.